And the background music of Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM, program number 500 in that continuing series. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. Our theme wrapping up right there, Musicians Come and Play with Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks, takes us to 14 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading currently of 21 degrees and those brisk northwest winds blowing up around 17 miles per hour. Kind of a blustery day out there in central Minnesota. Well, we have our guest on the line. We're going to bring him in. We're going to say good morning to Mr. Carl Hartwig. Carl, how are you doing this morning?
Well, just lovely. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Where is Carl at today?
Well, right now I'm sitting on my couch just outside of Galesville, Wisconsin, heating up some brunch. I'm having pork and beans and pork chop for lunch and watching Grumpy Old Men on TV.
Oh, there you go. Sounds like a good thing to do on a day like this. You got similar weather down there? What's it like in Galesville?
Yeah, it sounds about the same. I looked out the window a little bit ago and there were actually a couple snowflakes flying around. Nothing to get excited about, but you could just see a few of them, and got about 30 degrees and windy.
Okay.
And cloudy.
Okay. Well, that's what we've got here. Same thing, a few snowflakes floating around, and it is just a blustery day. We've been kind of spoiled. I mean, we really haven't had a winter, and we've been having 50s and 60s here the past couple of weeks, and to get this here, that's kind of like a slap in the face.
Yeah, we were actually up in the 70s for a few days when you guys were in the 60s up there. We had 74, 75. I think one day it got up to 78.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah. So it really been a strange year. I mean, did you guys ever get much for snow at all this winter over there?
No, we're way behind. I don't think we got, I'm just guessing, not much more than a foot.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah, and it didn't last at any one time too long either, so.
No, that was just when we had that one cold spell for about 6 or 7 days, whatever that was.
And yep.
We had the snow, and then it was all gone, and it's been so dry down here. We need some rain or snow or something.
You bet. You bet. Moisture is needed real badly. So,
yep.
But at any rate, Carl, we've got the 500th show today. Pretty neat stuff here. Looking back, the first show was Wally Pickle back in February of 2013. And we haven't looked back since. I know we've had you on a few times over the years, and it's been a fun ride. What's it like from your vantage point there, Carl?
Well, I'm glad you stuck it out for 500 shows.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's quite a goal, and congratulations, Cy.
Well, thank you very much. And the folks are always curious, how is Carl doing? So, first of all, bring us up to speed. How is the health these days? You're sounding very good on the phone.
Actually, doing a lot better. You know, I really didn't play much for the last 2 years because I was diagnosed with low sodium, and that'll knock me down. It just about killed me. In fact, I was in the one time, and the doctor said if I would have waited one more day, I would have either been dead or in a coma.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said that'll take at least a year to get that settled again, and it's much, much better. I'm feeling really good, and my shoulders were so bad I couldn't play, so I basically took 2 years off of playing.
Uh-huh.
Played a couple little things here and there, but getting back into it.
Are you?
I
good.
Got to play next weekend down here at the Concordia Ballroom on Sunday, and then next Wednesday at Donald Lacrosse for another dance. And,
okay.
And then up in Winona for one, and I think Arcadia, Wisconsin. So I'll put it this way. I'm feeling much better and getting back into playing some more.
Well, that's what we want to hear. You're way too young to be putting it on the shelf yet, Carl.
Yeah, the doctor said that had been coming on for quite a few years.
And wow.
Said, well, that would explain a lot, because
yeah.
For about 10 years or so, every once in a while I'd just get spells where I'd just pass out and I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just kind of bringing folks up to speed, and I know there aren't many of them out there that don't know the story of Carl, but again, born and raised where?
What's that?
Where were you born and raised?
Oh, I was born in a little town of Cambridge, or not Cambridge, that's the county seat of the county I was born in, but down in the Quad Cities in Moline, Illinois.
Okay.
But I grew up on the family farm about 15 miles south of there in Orion, Illinois.
Okay, very good. Where'd you go to school, Carl?
Right in Orion.
Right in Orion, okay. All right.
In fact, I was down there a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago now. My mother's husband of 35 years just died, so I went down to visit her for a while. She's doing good. In fact, Ma told me to tell you hi.
Well, we got to send greetings right back to her, so that's great, and also give her our sympathy. That would be your stepdad that passed away then, huh?
Yes, you betcha.
Okay, and his name was it Gordon?
Yeah, Dave Gordon.
Dave Gordon. Okay, very good. Yeah, and sickly or just unexpectedly, or what happened there?
Actually, he was out trimming some trees out in the front yard on the farm there and had a stroke, and somebody drove by. I don't even know who it was, but I guess somebody drove by, and they saw him laying out there, and they called an ambulance. And Ma said she was in the bathroom, and by the time she could get off the toilet and see who was knocking on the window, she looked out, and the ambulance was already there.
So, oh, my goodness. Wow.
You know, it was real quick. He had the stroke, and he really never came to after that.
Okay. Well, you know, it's a quick way to go, I guess, but it's always tough on the ones you leave behind because you're going to miss them. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. He went doing what he wanted to do, doing some work outside, and he was very comfortable in the hospice towards the end there. And
okay.
So he went good, I'll put it that way.
Yep, there you go. Well, so you graduated high school then from Orion in that area?
Yes, I did, just barely, but I did.
You did, huh? You didn't go on to any college or any extra?
Well, yeah, I did. I went to Winona State up here.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yep, I took physics in Winona State.
Okay. But that didn't apply to concertina, I don't think, huh?
No, that actually applied to getting my pilot's license.
Oh.
So flying airplanes for a while.
Really? You did? I didn't know that. Again, I'm learning something again. You were off the ground flying. Did you just flying solo, or did you take passengers, or what did you do?
Oh, no. I was certified. I took passengers up all the time, just private pilot. But, yeah, I was flying people around.
Wow. Good for you. And
we'd go flying around for lunch every once in a while, two or three times a month, I guess, for a while. And took Jim Boost up quite a bit, and Molly, too.
Okay.
Molly flew my airplane a few times.
Okay.
But yeah, we'd go flying all over for what they call the $100 hamburger, which nowadays would probably be a $500 hamburger.
Yeah, I would say. Back in those days, you probably could afford to fly. Nowadays, things have really escalated, huh?
Yeah, that'd be about it, too. Back when I was still married to my wife, Linda, I told her, I said, you know, you should really get another job so that I could afford an airplane. But
that didn't go over so good, huh?
No, I told her, I'm tired of leasing these things. Why don't you just get another job so we can buy one? But
yeah.
No, that just didn't go over too well.
No, I can see that.
That was a shot.
Uh-huh, you bet. So you don't have your license anymore, huh?
Yeah, it's good for life. I'd have to get checked out. It'd probably take me about, 2 weeks, maybe a month to get everything certified again.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, then along the way, and I've asked you this enough times that I can almost tell you the story back to you. You took a trip to New Ulm or to Gibbon Polka Days and came away with a concertina, huh?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that. That was, I think, 50 years ago today when I got my first, or not today, but this year when I got my first one, 50 years already.
50 years. Okay. Wow. Okay. And, you got a concertina there on that trip. And you said by the time you got back to Orion, Illinois, you knew, what, 3 songs already?
It was probably closer to 6 or 7.
Wow. Self-taught, yeah. Then. You just a natural. You just picked it up like that.
Yeah, and then 6 months later, I had the band going already.
Yeah, wow. That's awesome. So what concertina, you still got the same one then that you're playing, or you got a different one in the meantime, didn't you?
Yeah, that first one I bought, that was an old 1926 Silberhorn was the brand name.
Okay.
Old triple, and I've still got it. It's not playable, but I've still got it.
Okay.
I think I played too many Flasher on the Rhines on that thing, and I pulled the ends off it a couple times. But finally it got to the point where it just wasn't patchable anymore. So.
Sure. Oh, my goodness. And so then what did you get then, Carl? Did you get a Christy Hengel?
Well, we ordered one right away from Christy, but at the time he said it would probably take 7 or 8 years to get. And so in the meantime, we went up to Chicago, up to the Star Manufacturing Corporation, and I bought a Star just to get by for a couple of years in between time there.
Okay.
But then a year or two later, Christy said, after he listened to me play a little bit, he said, you know, I'm going to rush this one through. So we got it quicker than the 7 years anyway, I'll put it that way.
Okay. Yeah.
3 or 4 years, I suppose. But so then I've had that Hengel ever since.
Okay. And did it get a number?
Yeah, it did, but you know, I'm not one of those kind of guys that really...
pays attention to that, huh?
Exactly, yeah.
It's inside, probably, and you'd have to open it up to find out.
Yeah, it's in there someplace, but yep. Yeah, most guys would tell you what number it is right away. You can probably see it on the hand wrist, but I've never really looked.
Okay, no problem. That's no problem. Well, Carl, we're going to kind of take a trip down memory lane here. So you started the band then, 6 months later. How long after that before you put out your first recording?
First recording we recorded in 1979, so that would have been about 5 years after we started.
Oh, okay. And is that the one with your picture on that says Carl and the Country Dutchman?
Yeah, you betcha.
Okay, and that must have been your first concertina there, that Star. That's what you're holding on the picture there.
Yeah, yep, you are correct.
All right. So then as we moved along, well, first of all, I was going to spend a little time on each CD, on each recording. So can you remember all the members of the band back at that time?
Yeah, I think so. That was, of course, myself on concertina. And Amy Sampson was on second trumpet.
Okay.
She was a schoolmate of mine from down there. She was 1 year ahead of me in school. She was my sister Holly's best friend. And speaking of Holly, my sister, was on drums.
Okay.
And... my mother was on tuba.
Okay.
Except on 2 tunes, I think. Amy switched over and played tuba on 2 tunes because she liked tuba on those tunes.
So, okay.
And she was a great tuba player.
Okay.
And so we figured, okay, you can play a tune tuba on 2 songs and Ma can take the rest. And then my sister Joyce played piano.
Okay.
And Bernie Williams, I think everybody knows Bernie.
Yeah.
He's not with us anymore, but he was always fun to have around. He played trombone on there.
Oh, he did. Okay.
And I think that was it.
Was there another trumpet player?
Oh, yeah. Tom Paulson. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, he was playing lead trumpet.
Okay.
And his dad was Kenny Paulson.
Okay.
That ran a big band out of Davenport, Iowa. 12 or 13, 14 piece big band, and then he also had Paulson's Dutchman, a polka band on the tent.
Yeah, no, that rings a bell. I remember that band, so yeah, very good.
And his grandpa was Arnie Paulson. He was the drummer of the old time band when Kenny went out with polka band.
Sure.
And just to tie in a little bit more, Ron Nannerny from Omaha was married to Kenny Paulson's sister, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah. And I've heard that story because I've had Ron on the show several times. And so it's a typical thing. The musician's family intertwined and everybody's related to somebody, it seems like.
Yeah, it sure does.
You bet.
You'd think we were all born in Arkansas or something like that.
Well, Carl, if we can ask you to hold that thought, we got lots more to go through, but 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota, time to read the ad for our sponsor once again, the St. Joe Meat Market. We'll come back to you after that, all right?
Okay, no problem.
All righty. So greetings from the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats, award-winning sausages. Easter Sunday, just 2 weeks away, St. Joe Meat Market has John Morrell fully cooked bone-in hams that can be purchased whole or half or deboned and sliced at no extra charge. The St. Joe Meat Market also has a nice supply of home-cured hams on hand as well. Several varieties of boneless hams are also available, including our ever-popular home-cured off-the-bone boneless ham. Whichever you choose, call ahead and place your order for even faster service. A full line of fresh meats and sausages always available for the non-traditional Easter meals. For those that just like to graze, we have meat and cheese trays, snack sticks, summer sausage, meatballs, and more. The St. Joe Meat Market always has on-hand colored Easter eggs for those Easter baskets. And for more great in-store specials, call 320-363-4913. Like us on Facebook. Look us up on the web, www.stjoesofmeatmarket.com. Thank you and a very happy Easter from the whole gang at the St. Joe Meat Market. And Carl, for being our guest on the show, and you know how it works. You've been here before. We put up that nice meat package, mail it out to your priority mail. Hope that you and those around you enjoy it in good health. How's that always worked out for you?
Well, you know, Si, I've told you before that I just enjoy talking to you, and you wouldn't have to do that. But I really do appreciate it because that is some good meat you guys put out up there.
Well, thank you, Carl. And it's just the way the whole game works, so we will get that one off in the mail for you tomorrow, most likely.
Well, I wish I could do the show for you every week just for that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Carl. So we were talking about the CDs. So we got the first one down. Then you went down on the farm for two recordings, Volume 1 and Volume 2. I think those were the next ones you recorded, huh?
Yeah, you betcha.
And were the same musicians on both of them? How long after that first CD did you record these two? What was the history there?
I think that was 1981.
Okay.
I think. Must have been.
Close enough.
Somewhere right in there.
Yep. And I think the biggest one that came out on that hold on those two volumes was the Christmas Toy Polka, huh?
Yeah, it seems like it, yeah.
Boy, that caught everybody's attention. That's just a really good number. Mention some of the musicians on those recordings.
Oh, boy. There were a lot of them on those.
Was there?
That was me and Mike Selecki.
Yeah.
Which eventually became my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Married my sister Joyce.
Okay.
And Joyce was on piano.
Okay.
And Amy Sampson was on trumpet. And who else? Kim Klima. He was on clarinet and sax.
Okay.
From Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Okay.
And Bruno Randles. I think everybody's heard that name around from years ago.
Yeah.
He played with us for quite a while. And so he's playing trombone on there.
Okay.
And Don Burkhart is another famous musician from the past.
Donnie Burkhart. Oh, we loved him up here. Yeah, he...
Yeah, he actually played with me since 1980 up until he died, 2 years ago, Ben, already?
I think that's right, yeah.
And so he was just a great guy. We had a lot of fun together.
He was, and he so cared for us up here. In fact, when he died, his wife Barb called me like the next day or so and told me that Don had passed away. And she said Don had notes in his repertoire there that He so appreciated and enjoyed the program. He was on several times and talked highly of you and of the whole experience there. And having, you know, he had a beautiful voice. He could really sing.
Yeah, everybody really liked his singing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he was just a fun guy. You know, even if we weren't playing, and we were living close together for a while there off and on, and even when we weren't playing, he and I'd go out fishing all the time, and just a good guy to be around.
Absolutely, and I just feel bad that I never got the chance to meet him in person and shake his hand. Someday we'll meet, but probably not around here.
Yeah, that's about right.
There you go. Well, good.
Yeah, and then on tuba, we had Greg Skritzmeyer.
Okay.
He was actually from Bloomer, Wisconsin, but at the time he was living down in Moline, Illinois, because his wife was working for the John Deere Corporation down there.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And Greg was on tuba. And, I think my first wife, Kim, was on drums on half of those.
Okay.
Kim Risto.
Okay.
And so she switched off and on with my sister, Holly, on drums.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think who I maybe missed in there. There's got to be somebody else, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, then moving on from there, I think you did two more recordings on LP before you got into the CDs. I'm looking at Hanging Around and Hooked on Old Time, and I don't know which one came first, but you can probably tell us.
I don't know. I know they were recorded at the same time, but I'm not sure which one actually came out first.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they were recorded at the same.
Yeah, they came out so close at the same time, but they were recorded at the same time, yeah.
And again, a few years probably after the Down on the Farm recordings?
Yeah, I think those were 1985.
Okay. Yeah, and some great numbers on those two recordings. A real real catchy one was that Flasher on the Rhine. I mean, that was a peppy tune, and one really stuck with people. Another one, you did novelty tunes, Chopsticks. I mean, when you can play sour notes and bad notes, it takes really professional musicians to make it sound that bad. And then all of a sudden, one, two, and you just took off and really cleaned it up. That was a great recording.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. You know, I actually got a couple letters, kind of hate mail for that. One of them said that we took a nice tune and ruined it, and I just about sent a note back saying thank you. That was our goal.
Yeah. So when you did a song like that, was it your idea, or did one of the band members come up with it, or how did that all come?
That was pretty much my idea. I thought, you know, this would sound good if we played it really bad.
Yeah. that was really great. And again, Fraulein on that one, and I forget who sang that one. Was that Don again?
Yeah, that was Bill Oakey.
Oh, Bill Oakey. That's right. That's one musician we were forgetting in there. What did Bill play? Was he banjo?
No, he played drums.
He was a drummer. Okay.
Yeah, but on that album that he sang Fraulein, I think he sang a couple of them. Jolly Coppersmith.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But, he just sang on those two for us. But I did use him on drums a few times, too.
Okay.
Otherwise, he was a full-time drummer for the Jolly Swiss Boys band, Phil Liebel and the boys.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And he was also my cousin.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Again, the music family so intertwined. Great.
Yeah. And then his grandson, Jeff Langan, was my drummer. Well, still is off and on.
Okay. Okay.
I think you know Jeff.
I do, yeah.
Really, really good drummer.
Yes.
So he's right down here about a half hour from me.
Good.
He's still drumming all the time, but yeah, he's been on a few of my recordings also.
Absolutely. Well, I think from there you probably switched to CDs. That was the advent of CDs then. If I've got it right, I think the next one in line was Is Everybody Happy, huh?
Well, that depends on how you look at it.
Okay.
There was the one with me and Brian.
Okay. And I do have that one, too. Yep.
Yeah, I knew you had that. But I think that came out, I think we did that in 1986, about a year after the other two.
Yeah, and that was a good one. Boy, every number on there, it's all so crisp and clean and Boy, I'll tell you, we've talked about that one before. That one needed to come out on CD. We now have it out, and boy,
yeah, thanks to you.
Yep, that one has really drawn some attention.
Yeah, Brian still talks about that one. He says, you know, we should do another one. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, we could, but you think we should, or is it worth it?
Yeah, that's the bad part about technology nowadays, not putting CD players in the vehicles and stuff. Things haven't been moving as well as they did. But, boy, back at that time, that was a beautiful recording. I mean, really, really good.
Yeah, yep, we still like that one. Brian still talks about that, like I said. In fact, Brian just called me a couple days ago. I didn't call him back yet, but I'll have to do that.
Sure, sure. All right, then you came out with Is Everybody Happy, and another great recording.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun on that one, too.
Okay. Musicians on that one, pretty much the same, or did you have different ones, or?
There were quite a few the same that were on the 85 and 86. I think that was Don Burkhart and Mike Selecki and Frank Melmer joined us on some of those. And
okay.
So did Myron Muehlbauer.
Oh, you had Myron, too. Yeah.
And I think Marty Knockreiner was on a few tunes on there also.
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure who else.
Basshorn, do you remember who was on the bass then?
I think Tony was on those.
Tony Kaminsky?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of that, I was just over at his place the other day, and he told me to tell you hi, too.
Okay, very good. Yeah, another great horn player there. Just a great tuba player, you bet.
Yeah. And then I think on piano on those we had key threes.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. And then you did a concertina solos, and that's a good CD, and you teamed up with Jerry Minar and Christy Hengel. That had to be fun.
Yeah, that was. Yep, I think that was Jeff Langan on drums on that one.
Okay.
And Doug Young on tuba, I do believe.
Okay. All righty.
Who else would have been on there?
And then, what was that?
Tony on tuba, I'm pretty sure, was on that one.
Okay. And the three of you playing concertina. And, I mean, three really good concertina players. Jerry Minar, I got a chance to play with Jerry again. I drummed for him. We did that tribute to Lester Schuft a week ago there. And Jerry, still at his age, still is so smooth. Such a good concertina player. And, of course, Christy, well, he is Mr. Concertina, huh?
Yeah. Yep, say no more.
you spent a lot of time over at Christy's over the years, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah, we were real good buddies.
Yeah.
Speaking of good buddies, I was thinking about that, you know, you're talking about Lester Schuft, and you got a little story to tell you about him. Back in 1974, right around there when I was starting the band, and we weren't sure what to call it yet. And I was thinking, well, I live on the farm. I'm kind of a country boy. And so we thought Country Dutchman. But then we got thinking, well, there's already a Country Dutchman up in Minnesota, which would be Lester. And mm-hmm. We kind of knew Lester from seeing him up at Gibbon and that type of thing.
Sure.
And so my dad thought, well, that's a good name for the band. But he said, I better call Lester and make sure that's okay.
All right.
My dad called Lester, and Lester said, well, that's just fine. There's room for both of us. And there was never a conflict, and Lester and I were friends ever since for the last 50 years. So.
Well, that's awesome. You bet. Great story. Then, after the concertina solos, you did a 30th, a 40th, or no, well, actually, Boys Day Out must have been next, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
And that... I guess I was thinking that was an anniversary one, but that was just the next recording probably, huh?
Yeah, unless we called it the 35th anniversary. I really don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't say it on the CD I'm looking at right now. No,
yeah,
just,
it must not have been. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, and that came out in 1998, it says on the back of the CD.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, then you did a 30th, Carl and the Country Dutchman, Last Call. A nice picture of you sitting there with a brew in your hand and the bartender there.
Yeah, that picture was taken at Art's Concertina Bar down in Milwaukee.
Okay. And, nice picture of Art there. I'm probably not with us anymore, I suppose.
No, I think he died that might be 2 years ago already, too.
Okay, yeah. But looks like he had a good bar there, a nice nice selection of booze bottles standing there.
Yeah, that place was hopping. Oh. Well, always had a good time at Arts.
And musicians on that one?
I think that was me and Jeff Langan and Tony Kaminsky and I think Keith Reese on piano.
Okay.
I'm not sure who was all on that thing.
Okay. Probably Don Burkhardt again, I'm sure, on trumpet.
Yeah, I think Don and Frank and Mike Selecki.
Okay, very
maybe,
good.
Maybe Myron again and maybe Marty. I'm really not sure.
Yeah, because the years come and go as they did. And then your latest recording is Carl and the Country Dutchman, the 40th anniversary. And again, high regards on that one. So you had a couple of bass players on that one. Tony Kaminsky was one. Did he do the solo on Sharpshooter's March?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
All right. And you did, it was really a cute thing that you did. You did the Sleepyhead Waltz two times. One you did it with a bass horn and one with a guitar, huh?
Yeah, once with, well, not really the guitar, but it was upright bass. Yeah,
upright bass. There you go. Yeah. And they came out really good.
Yeah, the reason I put it on there twice was because both of those guys, Tony said, well, I like it better with the tuba, and Bud says, well, I kind of like it because it was Bud Schrader.
Oh, yeah.
Schrader on the upright bass. And he says, well, I kind of like it on the upright bass. And I finally said, fine, I'll put it on there two times then.
and that
was the only reason for that, because the two bass players were going to fight otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, well, you had some special numbers on that one. First of all, the Overcoat Polka. We did that one on the Lester Schuft recording. I played the drums behind you, and that was my only claim to fame of playing drums for Carl.
Well, you did a wonderful job.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a real treat. Then you did a couple novelty tunes, Shame and Scandal in the Family. Craig Ebel, what a great voice there, huh?
Yeah, I thought he would fit in just perfect on that song.
Oh, he did. And that one gets so much attention up here. We get a lot of requests for that one. Then the Ode to Pete and Paul. You've always been good friends with Pete and Paul Wendinger, and that was a special tune, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, that was actually, I'm sure you know this, but that was written kind of off of the song that Willie Nelson wrote many years ago.
Okay.
Me and Paul.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Of course, Willie was on guitar, and the Paul comes from Paul English, which was Willie's drummer for 60 years or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And they were always getting into trouble together, so that was actually written as me and Paul. But then I thought, well, you know, I can write it as Pete and Paul, because just change a few words around and a couple different stories in there, and it actually everything in that song is pretty much true about those boys too.
You bet. And you did play with Pete and Paul off and on quite a bit over the years, helping them out. And yeah, just really, really neat people. Of course, Paul dying way too young. That darn cancer got a hold of him there, and so he left us way too soon. I remember you being at the funeral. I was there playing up there in the balcony, and we sent Paul off in a real good way, I thought.
Yeah, one of my favorite sayings that Paulie always used to tell me if we were out drinking beer and having some fun, Paulie would just look at me and say, you know, Carl, most people don't like that much fun. And I just say, yeah, well, Paulie, we're not most people, and he just laughs.
Oh, yeah.
And I always use that one. Yeah, most people don't like that much fun.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, great. Well, there's so much more to talk about, but our time has run out. I want to save a little time for playing some music yet by Carl. So,
one thing about it, we didn't mention the drummer on that 40th anniversary album. That was my fiance, Crystal Malek.
That's right. Yeah, Crystal was in there too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I just thought about that. I figured I've got to mention her.
Oh, you know, boy, you'd be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Well, for sure. Well, great. Carl, I usually ask you before we let you run a memory, and I can't remember what you've all told us over the years, but what comes to mind today, a special memory over your career?
Oh, boy. Well, nothing major, but we were talking about those albums, and I think it was the, not Boys Day Out, what was one before that?
Last Call, or before that would have been probably the Concertina Solos?
Well, it's the one with the Doghouse Polka on it, I know that.
Oh, then you're talking about the Is Everybody Happy?
Yeah, I think that was the one. But the tuba player on there on a few tunes is Frank Galeski.
Oh, you got Frank in there too yet?
Yeah, by the way, he says hi, too. I was with him over at Tony Kaminsky's place the other day.
Oh, okay, okay.
But anyway, Frank is on those recordings because one of the bass players that was on there, he didn't play what I wanted, and I couldn't get a hold of him. And so I said, Frank, you owe me $20 from about 6 months ago. He borrowed $20 for something, probably for beer or something. I don't know. But
okay.
I said, I got to wait for you to pay it back. He said, I need a couple tunes recorded on this album. He said, okay, that'll work. Well, after we got done and spent about 12 hours on tuba parts, he just looked at me and said, you know, if I'd have known it was going to be this much work, I'd have just give you the $20.
Oh,
neat. He did a great job on there, though.
Absolutely. Well, that's awesome. Any chance that there's a new recording on the horizon, Carl?
Well, I don't see it happening, really. I've got a couple tunes that I've kind of got partially recorded, but I don't know if there's ever going to be an album. But I'll put it this way, if I do get those all done and ready to go, I'll make sure you get a copy of them, even if it doesn't come out as an album.
Alrighty, that sounds great. And it's like we talked earlier, technology is changing. So many of the bands have told me that it's fun recording. You know, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun once the recording is done. But if people can't buy them and play them in their vehicles, what's the use of going through it, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. Yep.
Yep, and that's what we're seeing. So don't mean to end the show on a negative note, but that's kind of just the way it is. People always ask about it, and so we share that same sentiment that, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. So.
That's progress for you.
Yep, exactly. Well, great. Well, Carl, we want to thank you once again for joining us on our Musicians Come and Play program. Like I've told you every other time, if the good Lord is willing, you and I are both here. We're certainly going to do this again sometime.
Well, anytime you want, that'll work for me.
That sounds great. So you hang in there for just a moment. I'll talk to you off the air. And you have a great afternoon, Carl.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You bet, and thanks for celebrating 500 with us.
Well, one more time, I'd like to congratulate you.
What was that, Carl?
Well, the 500, my God, I think you put up with it.
Sounds great. I'll talk to you in just a minute off the air. All righty. There he goes, Mr. Carl Hartwig, our 500 guests here on our Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got some music coming up by Carl in just a moment. Larry Rezavian is out of town checks with our theme wrapping up there, Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up our 500th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. Carl Hartwig, our 500th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. And what an entertaining program, and it goes by way too quick. Well, we promised to do a little Carl and the Country Dutchman music. Here's one that really put Carl on the map, I feel. It's one called the Christmas Toy Polka. Carl and his Country Dutchman, yes, that one I think is what put Carl on the map. One called the Christmas Toy Polka back in the days. Right now we talked about one of the novelty tunes that they did. It's one called the Chopsticks, Carl and his Country Dutchman. Thank you. Carl and his country Dutchman, one called the Chopsticks. And boy, that shows some the musicianship that Carl and his fellow musicians had over the years, doing a great job there. And when you can play it bad and then play it good, that takes some musicianship. Well, we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and that's always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. And Jeannie texting me in some information for today and has sprung at Jeannie B's Tours. Now is the time to check out the variety of tours offered. If you're looking for a day away trying your luck, jump on board the Slots of Luck Daycare to Jackpot Junction Casino on Monday, April 1st. Depart in the morning and return home for supper. This tour includes the guide, motor coach, bingo, treats, prizes on the coach, and $15 in free slot play per person. Call 320-345-1581 to reserve your seats for your group. The Slots of Luck Day Tour will happen the first Monday of each month. Enjoy tiptoeing through the tulips on May 21st as Jeannie B's Tour spends the Ladies' Day at the Minnesota Arboretum, a day that includes the Arboretum narrated tram tour of the gardens, lunch, motor coach, guide, Bachman's Floral, and a mystery stop. An awesome spring ladies' day. This tour is filling fast, so register soon. Maybe you're thinking a mini vacation, somewhere for your spring break. Deadwood Days, May 27th to the 31st, has a jam-packed itinerary. My wife Janet and I are packing our bags and heading to Deadwood and the Black Hills with Jeannie B's for this five-day adventure. This tour includes Tropix Deluxe Motor Coach, a guide, four nights lodging with casinos and in the hotels, six meals, Hill City Train Tour, Mount Rushmore, Wall Drug, Terry Redland Center Tour, Step-On Guided Deadwood City Tour, prizes and treats on the coach, and more. Call tomorrow to join for a super fun getaway. Register by calling 320-345-1581. And Jeannie B's staff will give you the details. Mark your calendars. Mark your calendars for the April 9th Jeannie B's Spring Tour Meet and Greet and Alaska 2025 at Shady Silver Spur in St. Martin. You will have the opportunity to see slide presentations from 2 to 4 or 5 to 7 with an included light meal served at 4:30. RSVP is requested for the meal count. And you will see the 2025 tours to Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Alaska, Hawaii, Canadian Rockies, Fall Colors of New England, Treasures of Ireland, Danube River Cruise, Germany and Austria, and Washington, D.C. Again, call Jeannie B's Tours at 320-345-1581 tomorrow if you want to join Jeannie B this fall, departing October 5th. For the Fall Colors of New England, Rails and Trails. There are still available seats because Jeannie B has added a second tour. Tours are filling. Don't miss the tour on your bucket list. And Jeannie always likes to say, remember, seeing is believing. Again, that's Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota, proudly bringing us our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. 26 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, time for just a couple more selections. We talked about one of the great novelty tunes, and this one's on Carl's most recent recording. It's called Shame and Scandal in the Family. Carl and his country Dutchman.
In Trinidad, there was a family with much confusion, as you shall see. There was a mama and a papa and a son who was grown. He wanted to marry, have a wife of his own. Finding a girl that suited him nice,
He went to his papa to ask his advice. His papa said, son, I have to say no. The girl is your sister, but your mama don't know. Woe is me. Shame and scandal in the family. Woe is me. Shame and scandal in the family. Well, now the weeks went by. He looked all around. Soon the best cook on the island he found. He went to his papa to name a date. His papa shook his head, and to him he did say, you can't marry that girl, I have to say no. The girl is your sister, but your mama don't know. Woe is me. Shame and scandal in the family. Woe is me. Shame and scandal in the family. As the years went by, he wished he was dead. He had 52 girls and he still wasn't wed. He asked his papa, papa, always say no. These girls are your sisters, but your mama don't know. Woe is me. Shame and scandal in the family. Woe is me. Shame and scandal in the family. He went to his mama and lowered his head. He told his mama everything his papa had said. His mama, she laughed, she said, go, son, go. Your daddy ain't your daddy, but your daddy don't know. Woe is me. Shame and scandal in the family. Woe is me. Shame and scandal in the family.
Carl and his country Dutchman, Shame and Scandal in the Family. And yes, get a lot of requests for that one. And a cute little novelty tune. Here's one more that we talked about in the interview, and this one's one called Ode to Pete and Paul. Carl and his country Dutchman off of his 40th anniversary CD.
It's been rough and rocky traveling, but they're finally standing upright on the ground. After taking several readings, I'm surprised to find their minds are fairly sound. They thought New Ulm was the roughest, but I know they said the same about them all. They received their educations in the cities of the nations, Pete and Paul. Almost busted in Ohio for reasons that I'd rather not disclose. If you get stopped on the tollway there, you really should be wearing some clothes. At the airport in Milwaukee, they refused to let them board the plane at all. They said they looked suspicious. I believe they like to pick on Pete and Paul. It's been rough and rocky traveling, but they're finally standing upright on the ground. After taking several readings, I'm surprised to find their minds are fairly sound. They thought New Ulm was the roughest, but I know they said the same about them all. They received their educations in the cities of the nations, Pete and Paul.
nest in Cottage Grove with them and Jerry Shuft and Elmer Shy.
Oh, yeah, boy.
The fest was long and they're just sitting there, and they'd come to play and not just for the ride. Well, they drank a lot of Shell's beer, and I don't know if they went on that night at all. But I don't think they even missed them. I guess Cottage Grove ain't geared for Pete and Paul. It's been rough and rocky traveling, but they're finally standing upright on the ground. After taking several readings, I'm surprised to find their minds are fairly sound. They thought New Ulm was the roughest, but I know they said the same about them all. They received their educations in the cities of the nations, Pete and Paul. They received their educations in the cities of the nations, Pete and Paul.
Carl and his country Dutchman, Craig Ebel on the vocals there on the Shame and Scandal in the Family, and that one, Ode to Pete and Paul, doing a great job there. And time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. We're going to do that with a nice concertina solo by Carl and his country Dutchman. Another really good number, one called the Mud Puppy Polka. His country Dutchman, yes, one called the Mud Puppy Polka, wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.